Welcome to the System to Success Show. On this show, we'll cover the best growth advice from top CEOs in North America and beyond. On each episode, your host, Jay Crutchfield, he's a former software engineer turned entrepreneur, created and maintained online marketing, online sales, and fulfillment systems for global brands. He offers non-traditional wisdom about business systems mastery, while his guests share the story of how they built their companies. Jay and his guests talk entrepreneurship, digital marketing, strategy, and business principles. But they also talk about what it means to be human with all the ups and downs, advances, and setbacks. And what he does is he takes is information and strategies that has helped catapult global brands and brings that to the small business owner to give them the advantage. Make sure to subscribe and follow for more of these business system mastery principles.
Welcome to the show, everybody. So excited today. I'm your host, Jay Crutchfield, and we have a very special guest in the house today, Terry Wildeman. She is an awesome high performance coach, business accelerator, inspirational, motivational speaker, intuitive puzzle solving ninja. Wow. Positive communication trainer. And she's, oh my goodness, a stress resilience master. We're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah.
She's an awesome speaker and best-selling author. Man, Terry works with social conscious CEOs, small business owners, and leaders to help them take their business to the next level with speed, calm, ease, and flow. So without any further ado, let's welcome Terry to the stage. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Jay. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. How are you?
I am doing great today. I like doing that. I just hearing more about talking about that flow and calmness and moving with speed. So we're going to have to get into that today, Terry.
Okay.
So today, Terry is going to talk with us about how to craft your unique message in a way that's really authentic to you, where you don't have to tell somebody else's story. So Terry, can you just share with the audience just a little bit more about your background so they can get to know you a little bit better?
Sure. Well, in my bio, you shared an awful lot. And I've been in business since I was 18 years old. And what I know about speaking and being on stage is you can feel when you're in your truth, and you can feel when you're not in your truth. And believe me, if you feel that way, the audience feels that way. So when you share your own story, when you really speak from the heart, you engage the audience, you connect with the audience in a very deep and powerful way instead of trying to tell somebody else's story. So I had a very interesting experience in my last TED Talk where I realized that I made a really big mistake. And that was I went in with the heart of the trainer instead of the heart of the speaker. And I remember watching myself going, what planet was I on? You know, it just didn't register. I was so focused on getting that information out that I wasn't clear on getting into the bottom line message and my story as to why I was sharing that information. So even those of us who are seasoned speakers make mistakes. And I've been doing it a long time.
Wow. So thank you for just being so transparent and honest about that, about especially being in the speaking game, I would call it, for it's just such a long time. And with that, you still have to constantly just reflect and just to see how things are going. So can you talk a little bit more about that, about the focus when you were focusing on like just being that speaker versus having that heart of a trainer?
Sure. We grow every day, correct?
Yes.
And if you're not growing and thriving, you're dying. So when my feet hit the floor, the very first thing I say is, what am I going to learn today? Who can I serve today? Who's going to come into my life to make things awesome? And in that process of learning and growing, your message grows with you. So the message that I had in my 20s and 30s is very different than the messages that I have now because of all of the experience that I have, because of who I work with, because of where my heart is taking me. And when you follow your heart, it really makes a big difference in who you want to work with. So in early 2001, I opened my leadership center, and it was all about professional development from a heart-centered space. And I owned the leadership center from 2001 to 2009. And even within those years, the message shifted. And the message was always about integrating the practical and logical with the energetic and the emotional. But the audience began to change. The message got deeper. It got clear. It expanded. Mm-hmm. And it's a natural organic growth if you listen to your intuition and allow your intuition to guide you to how to tweak your messages from audience to audience to audience. And the best way to do that is to ask open-ended questions of the people, the organizers. And when you ask those open-ended questions of the organizers, you can get really clear on how to adapt your talk to the people who are going to be listening to you. And one of the big things I have to say about applying for speaking gigs is be courageous in who you apply with. When you apply for every speaking gig, you put yourself in a situation where you could really tread into some dangerous territory because those folks aren't your audience. And oftentimes that's going to, you know, that's going to fall out anyway. But imagine being accepted to speak and you really have a huge message and it's all wrong for that specific audience because you didn't vet the speaking engagement well enough and they didn't vet you. It can really suck the soul out of you.
Wow. So Terry, how have you been in that situation where you've prepared the speech and you're delivering it and the audience really isn't connecting with the message?
Well, sure. Yeah, that happened. But it wasn't because I wasn't vetted. I actually delivered the information, the audience that I was asked to deliver. And I believe you know, we're a military family. And when we were stationed in Mayport, Florida, and that had to be, 29-30 years ago, I was an image consultant, and I was a certified image consultant. And I was having a blast because I was teaching customer service, I was getting into leadership, dress for success, all this really cool stuff. And the folks at the base were just starting to create programs to assist transitioning men and women from the military. And they called me in and asked me if I would volunteer to deliver an image program for our retiring and separating men and women to assist them. Oh my gosh. It was nuts. I was talking about the size of the suitcase with the man, not the suitcase, the briefcase. Now remember, this was 29 years ago. It's a little bit different today. But I was sharing about if you're a short man, and you're carrying a gigantic briefcase, you're out of proportion. It looks sort of funny. People notice that. Or if you're a real big guy and you've got these little itty bitty briefcase, that's out of proportion. So we were talking about proportion and style, and we were talking about what to wear and not to wear. I have to tell you, they were the most, you've got to be kidding me. I have to do this type audience. Wow. It was rough. It was really, really rough because it was in the days of this topic just beginning to get introduced. Mm-hmm. Now, in my career, I trained over 11,000 folks who were transitioning. And in the later years, it became a very, very accepted thing. And actually, one of my friends who was in one of my first image classes said to me, "I didn't believe you, Miss Terry. when you were telling me all this stuff, and then I had to go for interviews, and I owe you a big apology. So it can be very soul-sucking in those situations, because then you begin to question yourself and how do I adapt this information so that they understand? Because a lot of them were very, very much disbelieving of what I was saying, because to them, what they were wearing wasn't important. How they were presenting themselves wasn't important. Hey, I was in the military for 30 years. I'm hot stuff. Now, I'm married to a Navy guy, so okay. You know, and I have a daughter who's a lieutenant in the Navy, so I feel comfortable saying that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really funny. You're talking about the transitioning out of the military to civilian life, and so that was connecting me because both of my parents are veterans.
Okay.
And so is my grandfather, and so I guess I was the one that decided to to go the civilian route. And so, yes, I think those are great things because I saw the transition with my parents from going from the military life and having to think about things from a civilian standpoint. And so that image portion was a big deal as well too. So can you talk more about that, since we're on the topic of the imagery, and especially as a speaker? I know we talked a little bit, you know, behind the scenes. And yeah, so, you know, what's some tips on the image side that you can give to our audience?
Well, if you're going to be, may I share some of the things that we were talking about?
Sure, yes.
Okay. Well, the first thing is on a telesummit like this, I have been in about four different positions to make sure that the background was somewhat pleasing. We're having construction upstairs, so my office has parts of every bedroom in it right now, so I can't get to it, so my usual background is not there. So we were at one table, another table, so your background says so much about you, and it's really important that the background in a telesummit is clean, nice, presentable. You don't have the dirty the laundry that needs to be folded sitting on the coffee table, you know, that kind of thing. Excuse me. The other thing we were talking about, which is really small, but it's a big deal, is drinking water. Jay, do you have your water bottle there?
I do, as an example.
There we go. So go ahead, take a swig, Jay.
Okay.
Take a swig. So look at what Jay's doing with his water bottle. Ooh, yeah. Oh, that looks so attractive, doesn't it? And what I have here is a plastic glass with a hard straw. And I just go, and keep going. Okay? So on stage, I have a table to my right, because I tend to be right-handed. I'm not tend, I am right-handed. So there's a small table to my right where I have two and three of these already set up. It's got a lid on it, so I don't have to worry about spilling. And this looks so much nicer than being all dressed up, hair, makeup, perfect outfit on stage and drinking out of a plastic water bottle. And so that's just one of the tips that I use where image is concerned on stage. The second thing is, note that jewelry, for women specifically, jewelry on stage is, you need to watch that. Look at the newscasters. A lot of them either have a necklace or earrings, one or the other. They don't have both. I have little ball earrings here, but the long stuff, you've got to be careful, because long dangly earrings can actually be very distracting. Bangles on the bracelet can interfere with the microphone that you're wearing. So your jewelry needs to be rather simple so that it doesn't interfere with the microphone in your hand or the lavalier that you're wearing. Okay. I also recommend that you wear an outfit if you're on stage and you're going to be mic'd that is easy to put the mic up the back for the ladies, or wear a jacket to make it easy. And jackets give power. When I was teaching image, there were studies that were out that showed that women who wore jackets were considered more powerful than the men who weren't wearing jackets. Mm. So that piece of clothing adds an awful lot of credibility to a speaker if you choose to wear one. The other thing is, ensure that the outfit that you're wearing, I suggest a solid color versus a print. because the prints can create havoc. Even the little polka dots, herringbone, anything like that can create havoc with the camera. Wear different colors. Take pictures of yourself and ask yourself, are the clothes wearing me or am I wearing the clothes? So for example, if I were to wear beige, you would not be seeing my face because I would be all one color. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bright red can play havoc with cameras. It doesn't really work well with cameras. Whereas a deep red may work, but you need to know that that's the best color for you. And light blue tends to work very well on camera, or a royal blue. This is a burgundy. It's easy. You know, it works with my coloring and it's a whole image. It's a whole picture that is easy to look at. No one thing is specifically distracting. So when you're on stage, you want people to listen to your message, to be able to see your face. So the background, I usually recommend only having a small table that has water. I have a 6-foot table that has props in it if it's that kind of event. And on the other side, I have another table that has my books propped up on it so people can see that if I'm referring to them. So I've got 2 6-foot tables on either side, a round table with flowers on it, and my trusty plastic glass. Okay. And that's really about it. I don't like a lot of stuff on stage. I have seen speakers who have the beautiful, beautiful banners, vertical banners that work lovely because each of them have a message. They may have a different, say for example, it's a 7-step item. Each vertical banner may have a step on it. So something simple like that works, but simple is always best. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. And so it's sounding like even from the small things a speaker should pay attention to, especially when you spoke about an example with how I brought out my trusty water bottle and just how you showed that just with the switching that out to a nice cup with a plastic straw makes a difference with the imagery. With the lid, yes, with the lid on there as well, too. And so, yeah, that's really good points. And especially how you mentioned having the things readily available on those tables set next to you so that you can make mention of the items so you won't have to be searching around for them on stage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, go ahead.
Practice and practice and practice with your presentation. If you're having a PowerPoint presentation, practice, 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 practice. I don't care how many times you've delivered that program. Practice it and practice it more, right? With your clicker, because it's always different in every single stage that you're on. And the equipment's different unless you bring your own. Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to another question on that side. So have you ever been on stage and the technology didn't work or perform as you thought it was going to perform? And how did you handle that situation?
Well, here's basically what happened. It didn't work. I will never forget it. My entire presentation was on this. It just didn't work. Anyway, the camera, I don't really remember if it was the computer wasn't working with the LCD projector or I forget what it was. But what happened was, luckily for me, I had my overhead projector. I had my PowerPoint slides printed out. So what I did was I used my PowerPoint presentation and a flip chart, and then I spoke that way, which means you need to know your information inside out, outside in, every tiny little cell, every pore. You've got to know it so well that you can create the visual piece in the person's mind as you are speaking, okay? So it really is about being prepared. So if you're the kind of presenter who has to use the PowerPoint to talk from, you don't know your topic well enough. If you use it as a guide to be able to trigger, okay, what it is that you want to use, that's great. But if people are just going to be reading, listening to you reading off the LCD projector off the screen, Forget about it. You just don't know your topic well enough, which means you've got to practice, you've got to research, and you really have to do your homework to get to that place where it's integrated within you. It's a part of your soul.
Mm. That's a really good point, because being in the audience of some of those types of speeches where it was just word for word reading, I'm like, I could have just grabbed a book.
Exactly. And one of the things that I really have to share also is, as a speaker, it's important that you remember it's not about you. It's about you being in service to your audience. If you go on stage with the idea of, oh, I'm going to sell this many books, and I'm going to sell this program, and I'm going to sell this mastermind, and I'm going to make tons of money, go away. And the reason I say that is because when you're a heart-centered speaker and you're really speaking from the heart, and you're there to share your information with your audience, they know. You're in authenticity. You're in integrity. You're in complete heart. And they know that you are there to share with them and to give them, to teach them, to honor them in full integrity and authenticity. Think of the people that you know who've gone on stage that have spoken like that. They're easy to remember.
Yes, they are.
And the ones who have gone on stage and it's all about them, they're easy to remember too, for all the wrong reasons.
Yes, those are definitely some points to remember. Especially you spoke about, you know, going and thinking about the audience and thinking about and having that heart of service for your audience. So can you touch on, like, as you're crafting the message, mm-hmm. how do you go about making sure that you're servicing your audience and at the same time getting the point across that you want to get across?
Well, the first thing I do is send a questionnaire to the event planner or to the person who's hiring me, because when you send the questionnaire, these are questions that you need to know to be in your authenticity, that you need to know in order to be able to really serve the audience well. So once you get those questions back, it allows you to ask open-ended questions to make it even to go deeper so that you can really adapt your speech well. I also ask who in the past they have connected with and who in the past they have not, because it gives me an idea of the kind of speaker that has worked for this audience and has not worked for this audience. Another thing that I do is I offer to be there early so that when the door is open, I am already there connecting with audience members and asking them, what do they want to get out of the talk? What do they want to get out of the conference? What do they hope to go home with? And I integrate that in my talk so that I know for a fact that I am addressing those specific pieces. So sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. So I'm very cautious of what I include. And then at lunch, I'm still there. And I stay through the whole day in complete service to the planner who hired me. So at the end of the day, I, instead of running out the door, I stay and I make it a point of staying so that I can answer questions. Even though I have a table of back of room sales, I don't care about that. There's people who are doing that part of it. I'm out there talking with folks and engaging with folks and answering their questions, because that's what I was hired for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to do that, to gauge first, sending that questionnaire. I think that's a great idea. People, I definitely hope you are taking notes on that side, to send that questionnaire out. And then you show just that heart of just that servant leader of going early and actually connecting with the audience. And so, wow, that's really, really unique and I will say a powerful thing. So, and then as me just thinking about that as an audience member, I would think that too, like, okay, Terry really cares about me. And so I'm going to pay more attention to what she's saying because she spent that time with me.